Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
And we would just ever like to greet those who have joined us on the internet and streaming in Spanish and in English. Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully we can say something that will bless you. You all who are here know where we stopped last week. Hopefully you know. But I just want to make a comment in regards to the teaching of the tabernacle. Within this tabernacle, and would you put it up, please? Within this tabernacle, is the whole truth of the gospel that we preach today. You will, if you listen and understand, you will realize that all of what we teach in the church of Yeshua today, there was a type and a shadow of that in the tabernacle. So the New Testament is made up of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of Yahweh. The courts speaks to us of different things in the gospel. And the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. So everything we teach will be already taught by Yahweh in the Mishkan, the dwelling place of Yahweh. And whether you know it or not, this place today is the dwelling place of Yahweh. Yahweh is where his people are. And this is what has been set aside for the worship of him. And he is in here today. Amen. See, a lot of time we don't understand who we are or who the God that we serve is. If you will open your hearts to the teaching of the tabernacle, it will bless your life if you are a genuine believer. Now, I know there are some in here today who are not genuine believers. They are the stragglers that left Mizraim, which you call Egypt. And they were always on the back end of the march. Those are the stragglers. But those who are honestly say and honestly believe that Yeshua gave his life for us, if you will open your heart to the teaching of the tabernacle, it will bless your life. Amen. Now, last week we were standing in the holy place. Would you give us the holy place, please? And how many of you know that the holy place is the church? How many of you knew that? The holy place is the church. And give me the holy place if you can. right here. That's it. Now, if you'll notice, everything is made of gold. Gold represents what? Deity. So in the church, it's all about you. It's all about God. It's all about Yahweh. It's all about Him. It's not about us. But in this Mishkan, which is a type of the church that was to come, there were three pieces of furniture in that holy place. The golden lampstand, which the Bible would call the menorah, the table of shewbread, and the golden altar of incense. It speaks to us of the importance, or I would say it is imperative, that we minister at each one of these. The believer who do not minister at the lampstand or the table of shewbread or the golden altar of incense, which represents prayer. This represents the Holy Ghost. This represents prayer. This represents the word of Yahweh, the word of God. All right, it is imperative that you practice everything that's in here. And if you don't, you will not be a successful believer. There's a lot of folks in the church that never pray. But I'll tell you one thing, they are in all types of mischief because they don't pray. Amen. Now, last week, we, standing in this holy place, we explained to you that the only light in here was the light of the menorah, which represents the Holy Spirit. And reflecting off of the golden walls, it seems to shine as a spotlight on the table of shewbread, or the more correct way to say that is lehem panim, the bread of presence. Meaning, and that's the Hebrew for it, meaning that there was always bread on this table, and bread representing the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh is always on the table of God. Amen. And as it illuminated this, I said last week that the first piece of furniture built in the holy place is the table of presence, the bread, the table that holds the bread of presence. It is the first one that's built. Now, in the most holy place, which we haven't gotten there yet, and none of you will get there, we will go in as a viewer and an observer, that we can observe heaven as we can observe heaven from earth today through the word, right? We go to Revelation and you see heaven and you see Yeshua setting upon a throne, right? We observe in heaven. We haven't been to heaven, but we can observe heaven. So within this place behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant, which holds the Ten Commandments, and a pot of manna that came down from heaven representing the word of God. And upon that ark, there is the mercy seat made of pure gold. Amen. And on each end of the mercy seat is an angel looking down into the mercy of Yahweh, which we will talk about later. But last week we left you here at the Lahem Panim, the table of the bread of presence. Now I wanted we have it to bring up separately the table of present, or the table of the bread of present. There we are. Beautiful place, isn't it? There's 12 loaves of bread on this table. Eat one loaf for each tribe of Israel, speaking to us that all of God's people must eat from this table. Can't be one tribe, half a tribe, it has to be all of God's people must feed from this table. Now, I want you to notice, if you can discern it, it is kind of vague, but notice around the table, there is a golden crown. Now, last week, as we looked at this place, we made the comment that how Yahweh looks at the church is different from how the church exists today. This church, and I'm not saying this particular church, I'm just saying the church that exists today cannot go to heaven, because it does not look like the church that Yahweh intended for it to be. We said in this church, there is no division. There is no hatred. There is no rebellion. There is no racism or race of people. Now, I know when I say this, people get a little upset when I take race out of the equation. But race do not figure into God's equation. God created a new person. He created a new creature, right? That all things had passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So there is no race in God. It's only the sons and daughters of Yahweh. That's all. Now, I know that's something that people hear me preach, and they feel like I'm off the left wheel. But if you will study it, the Bible said he broke down the inner wall of partition, and he made in himself one new man, meaning woman, Adam, man and woman. So there is no race in God. We are the one that put race into the equation. When you come and you receive Yeshua and you are baptized in his name and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a new creature. You are a new genos. You are a new human species. Amen. I know. But just stay with me. You'll understand by and by. Hallelujah. You are a new species. There has never been a species like you upon the face of the earth. But it started in the age of the apostles, the teaching of the gospel. And the apostle wrote to us and said that we are the offspring of Yahweh. We are the genos of Yahweh. We are the new human. We are not like anybody else. We are not like the regular folks here, people. We are something special. So, as we talked about that, about there being no hatred, no division. See, hatred and division comes from the mind of men. There is none in God. Men, in their selfish way, want to be the greatest thing on the earth. The white man want to be the greatest. They used to say the yellow man. I never seen a yellow man, so it must be a brown man, maybe. But everybody is looking to their race of people, failing to realize God understood as long as we look at race, we will never be together. We will never be in unity. Because if we look at race, then we are always saying we are different from one another. But all of us who are in Yeshua, brothers and sisters, we are in the same family, the family of Yahweh in Mashiach Yeshua. I'm the first that preaches this, I think, but I won't be the last. I won't be the last. I said that, you remember, years ago when we went into the name of Yeshua. I said unto you, we are the first preaching this, but people will hear this message and we'll hear this name everywhere. Hallelujah. And we have. And we have. Now, as long as we do not believe and adhere to Bible doctrine, our lives will never be together. We can never get our lives together. Now, I want us to turn to Yohanan, where I ended last week, the first chapter. And the fourth verse. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. The Greek word for that, full, is pleru. And it's not full. Pleru means fulfilled, complete. He said, I'm writing these things to you that your joy will begin to become complete. As long as you are in yourself, you can never have the joy of God. So he says, I'm writing these things unto you that your joy may be complete. As we serve Yahweh, as we walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, our joy begins to develop to its fullest degree. Right now, we have people who they're in misery. They're suffering from all manners of fear. They have this feelings, negative feelings about each other. He said, your joy will never be fulfilled until you begin to adhere to the word. Now listen to me. Fifth verse. This then is the message. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. The message is about to come forth. Now, I didn't say that. Yohanan said that, right? He said, this then is the message. Your joy will never be fulfilled, but now let me give you the message that will cause your joy to be full, that will cause you to understand that you are a blessed people, that will cause you to rejoice in the light of God. This then is the message which we have heard of him. This message, he says, comes from God, directly from Yahweh. And declare unto you We have heard from him and declare unto you that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. Just think on that. When you're operating in Yahweh, you are operating in the light of the Holy Spirit, and there is no darkness at all in God. So when you go off the fifth rail, you're on your own. You can't make it, God. What you're doing, you can't make it, God. Because in him is no darkness at all. If we say, the sixth verse, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we are in division, if we are in hatred, if we are in division, and then we turn around and say, I have fellowship with Yahweh. I have fellowship with Yeshua. Yohanan said, you lied. And the old folks used to say, when you say do not the truth, the old folks say you don't know how to tell the truth. There can't be two truths. If you're walking in him and you're in darkness, you lied. And you are not telling the truth. I want to live before I die in the true church of Yahweh. I want to be in the church where there is nothing but the light of God. And there is no darkness at all. There is no division. There is no rebellion. There is no conflict. No racism. That is the church that I heard from the word of Yahweh. That's the church that I want to be in. And we keep saying, but I'm in God. I know God. I know God. But you're walking in darkness? You're just lying. But, somebody say but. But means I'm about to add something to this or take something away. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we're walking in God, we're in unity. If we're all walking in God, we're in fellowship with one another. If we're all walking in God, we love one another. We have people in the church that's touchy. You say something to them and they go off there, you know.
Wait a minute, they said this.
You can't say nothing. I remember reading something about a gangster in the mafia. His name was Touchy the Terrible Tui. You don't mess with Touchy. So you got people in the church you can't say nothing to. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua will cleanse us of all our sins. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in the light. Hallelujah. I want to be in the church where the joy of Yahweh is overflowing. Hallelujah. I want to be in the church where people love one another. We cannot be in rebellion against God's leadership and say we're walking in God. You know, Yahweh is not a God who lets us do our own thing. He gives us leaders. How many of you knew that? He gives us leaders to show the way. Right? Leaders that will guide us. One day, we will get to this church. Go back on the church, holy place. One day, God's going to have his church the way he wants it. I don't care what you feel. It don't matter what you think. Put it back on the holy place, please. God's going to have his church the way he wants it. And he spoke here and said, everything here is gold. That means everything's about him. It's not about anything else. It's about him. But I don't know about you. I love him. And I don't mind, and I want him to be the center of my life. Now, let's get this tight together. Go back to the tabernacle. So I know I'm going to have you guys working back there in the back. But that's okay. Work with me. Do we have the other picture of the tabernacle with all of the tribes around the tabernacle? Yeah, there we are. There we are. God's people, the center of their lives, if you'll notice, is the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Everybody has a view of God. He was in the tabernacle, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But it was the center of their lives. The tabernacle was the center of their lives. Because that's where God was. Now, let's go back to the table of shewbread, the individual table of shewbread. If you'll notice, and you can see it, how many can see the golden crown around the table? Can anybody see it? Say amen if you can. Amen. Amen. There's a golden crown around that table, speaking to us that this is bread for deity. This is bread for royalty. And you say, well, you told us we're supposed to eat from it. The problem that we have in the church, we don't know who we are. If we knew who we were, we would act a little different. Huh? Don't you think so? This is saying to us, that the ones that are to eat of this table have to be royalty. They have to be kings and queens. The common man cannot eat here. So we need to learn who we are in God. We're not just folks who came to the church and we say, okay, I believe in Yeshua. Or some of you, I still believe in Jesus. Forget Yeshua. Whatever. We didn't just walk in here. We had to be born in here. We had to be born in here. I know I'm preaching the word today, so y'all get a little upset when you hear something like this. But we need to learn who we are. Look at 1 Kepha, which you call Peter 2. And we will look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a what? Chosen generation. The word for generation is genos. The other word that they will give you is offspring. Another one is parents. Another one is race or kindred. We are, you are, I am a chosen and electos, selected out family, race, kindred. We're a new kind. But ye are a chosen generation. A what? A royal what? Priesthood. Huh? You are a group of king priests. I know you didn't know you was that, did you? You have been selected out from among all the people of the world. You are a new genus, a new kind. You have new parents. Yes. You didn't know that, did you? You have new parents. You're birthed into a new family. And that is the family of Yahweh in Mashiach, Yeshua. Yes. But you are, look at your neighbor and say, I am. A chosen generation. It's not leaving you out, you're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a priesthood of kings and priests. A holy nation. A holy nation. Ain't no finger poppers in this place. Somebody over there popped their fingers in. I know you're a finger popper. You don't have to tell me that. But there ain't no finger poppers in God's church. And I mean that in the sense, you know, you out there in the clubs and you listen to all of the music. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And you have a responsibility. A peculiar people. You know, we used to, when I was a young person in church, I thought it meant people who act a little bit different, peculiar. You know, he said that person is peculiar. I thought it was talking about that. But it really was not talking about that. It was talking about you are a personal possession of Yahweh. You're a personal possession of Yahweh. You belong to Yahweh. That you should show something. Everybody who see you should know there's something about you that's different. You have the responsibility to present something to the world. You have been ordained to show something to the world. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. 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 People that see you, they should say, I know that person is of Yahweh. He is of God. He's different. She's different. They're not like us. They don't talk like us. They don't walk like us. They don't act like us. They act like God. They show forth the praises of God. Who has called us out of darkness into his what? To his marvelous light. Now God is going to say, the Holy Spirit is going to say, I understand now. I understand that you might have trouble with this. 10th verse. Which in time past were not a people. Which in time past was what? You were not God's people. You were just a ragtag out there popping your finger, doing the jig. Yeah. Tinkling the glasses and you know, filling up the motels and hotels. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Because I used to be that too. We all was that, you know. Which in what? Time passed. That was in what? That was in your old life. That was in time past. Which in time past, we're not a people. You were not God's people then. But are now the people of Yahweh. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am the person of Yahweh.
I am the person of Yahweh.
I believe in Yahweh.
I am his offspring.
Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is not supposed to make sense to worldly people. That's why they can't eat off the table. It's not for them. Which in time past were not our people. But are now the people of Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy. You see, you had not obtained mercy. But now have obtained mercy. And then he speaks to you as believers. Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. I beseech you. I beg you. As strangers and pilgrims, that's what you are in this world. You're not like them anymore. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against your soul. Abstain from all of this stuff, this hatred, this rebellion, this division, this whoremongering, this lying, this cheating. It's warring against your soul. Hallelujah. Once you get into that, your soul is in deep trouble. Let me tell you, when folks who are saved allow themselves to get into something like this, they are in deep trouble. It's hard to get out of Satan's grasp once he gets up. Even if he can just grab hold to your fingernail, it's hard for you to get out of his grasp. Now, it's getting close time to stop. But I got one more scripture I want to. Look at Look at Matthew, what you call Matthew 4. Do you all know why I'm still here? Everything that could happen to folks, is, you know, other stuff happened to me. I've nearly died several times. Amen. I was at the hospital, and I didn't know I had diabetes. And the young person that checked me, he had a little meter. And when he checked me and he looked at the numbers, he screamed. He said, my meter only goes to 700 and it pegged. They told me later on, the doctor said, you should be dead. That sugar was 1134. There's no way you should be alive. But God. But God. That night I'm laying in my bed in the hospital. And I woke up because somebody had kind of shook me or did something. And I woke up and I looked. And here this lady was standing over my bed, and she was holding my hand up like this. like this right arm, she was holding it up in both of her hands. And I looked at her, but I wasn't afraid. I said, you know, this must be a Christian nurse. She just came in to pray for me. Because that's what she was looking up to heaven, and she was holding my hand up to heaven. The next morning, I said to the nurse on duty, where is that African-American nurse that came to me last night? She said, we don't have any African-American working here. But God. But God. So I'm here by the mercy of God. And I'm here to preach this new method.
Yes, sir.
We are all one family. We are a new species, a new creation. We are a new race of people. That we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Netanyahu 4, and I'm going to leave you here today. But we are still in this tabernacle. We got to find out everything about it. Netanyahu 4, fourth chapter, third verse. And when the tempter came to him. Now, I want you to stop right there. The tempter is going to come to every one of you. You better be ready. Huh? See? Now, this is Yeshua. And when the tempter came to him, he said, the tempter said, if thou be the son of Yahweh, command these stones to be made bread. He had been fasting 40 days. And the tempter came. See, you can be at the height of your religiosity. And the tempter can come. And the tempter said to him, if you be what you say you are. See, that's the idea. He always wants to doubt who we are, what God said we are. Huh? We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. He'll come to you and say, if you are a royal priesthood, why did your cousin die? Put the doubt there. Turn these stones into bread. Now, he knew that Yeshua could do that. But then if Yeshua did that, Yeshua would be working off a suggestion of the devil. Fourth word. But he answered, that is Yeshua, answered and said, it is written, hey, if you don't have no word in you, you're not going to be able to say this. Huh? You don't know what's written. You got to have this word in you so you'll know what God said about you. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's written. But if you don't have that word in you, see, I'm surprised how thin the Bible studies are, how thin the Sunday school studies are. I'm amazed at some of you. We only see you on Sunday morning. So when the tempter come, what you gonna say? Well, leave me alone. I rebuke you. Hey, that ain't gonna work. He ain't listening to what you said. But when you start telling them what the words say, Yeshua said, man shall not live by bread alone. Look, most of you, you can't go 6 hours without eating. Oh, I'm so hungry, my head's hurting. I need to get me something to eat. But you can go weeks without the word. And then you wonder why you fall into the stuff you fall into. Because the tempter came, and you didn't have no word for it. Oh, it wasn't even a fight. It was like, God knows I'm weak. But listen to what the apostle say. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm weak, he's strong. So I bring him into the conversation. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. Bow your head. There's a stirring going on. There's a shaking going on in the church. There's a shifting going on in the church. And God is shaking the church. For those who are really with him will be shaken into another place other than what everybody else is in. The word church is simply a word. God wants us to be his loving, divine children who walk in the light of his Spirit and in the light of the Holy Spirit. Father Yahweh, in the mighty name of Yeshua, let us hear, not just with our natural ear, but with our spiritual ear. Yeshua said, he that has an ear, and he wasn't talking about an ear on the head. He was talking about a spiritual hearing. Let him hear what Yahweh says to his church. Let the people of this ministry hear what you say. We who have first, in a general sense, entered into the name of Yeshua, that means you want to do something with us. Let us hear what the Spirit is speaking to us. And for those who are not saved, let them hear the call of salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There might be someone here today that says, you know, I want to be saved. I'm tired of a life that is not fulfilling to me, a life of sin. I want